The reading today is from Ruth chapter 3, the whole chapter. Then Naomi, her mother-in-law, said to her, "My daughter, should I not seek rest for you, that it may be well with you? Is not Boaz our relative, with whose young women you were? See, he is winnowing barley tonight at the threshing floor. Wash, therefore, and anoint yourself, and put on your cloak, and go down to the threshing floor. But do not make yourself known to the man until he has finished eating and drinking. But when he lies down, observe the place where he lies. Then go and uncover his feet and lie down, and he will tell you what to do." And she replied, "All that you say, I will do." So she went down to the threshing floor and did just as her mother-in-law had commanded her. And when Boaz had eaten and drunk, and his heart was merry, he went to lie down at the end of the heap of grain. Then she came softly and uncovered his feet and lay down. At midnight the man was startled and turned over, and behold, a woman lay at his feet. He said, "Who are you?" And she answered, "I am Ruth, your servant. Spread your wings over your servant, for you are a redeemer." And he said, "May you be blessed by the Lord, my daughter. You have made this last kindness greater than the first, in that you have not gone after young men, whether poor or rich. And now, my daughter, do not fear. I will do for you all that you ask, for all my fellow townsmen know that you are a worthy woman. And now it is true that I am a redeemer, yet there is a redeemer nearer than I. Remain tonight, and in the morning, if he will redeem you, good, let him do it. But if he is not willing to redeem you, then as the Lord lives, I will redeem you. Lie down until the morning." So she lay at his feet until the morning, but arose before one could recognize another. And he said, "Let it not be known that the woman came to the threshing floor." And he said, "Bring the garment you are wearing and hold it out." So she held it, and he measured out 6 measures of barley and put it on her. Then she went into the city. And when she came to her mother-in-law, she said, "How did you fare, my daughter?" Then she told her all that the man had done for her, saying, "These 6 measures of barley he gave to me, for he said to me, 'You must not go back empty-handed to your mother-in-law.'" She replied, "Wait, my daughter, until you learn how the matter turns out. For the man will not rest, but will settle the matter today."
Let's pray as we come to look at God's word together. Father, we heard earlier the Lord Jesus said, "If you abide in me, you will bear much fruit." And so, Lord, as we hear your word tonight, would your spirit be at work in us, that we would stay in Jesus, we would abide in Jesus, we would turn to Jesus, we would find him to be the true Redeemer that we need. And so would you fill us with hope. In Jesus' name we ask. Amen. We've been spending the last few weeks looking at this little book of Ruth. Goethe once said that it is the most perfect little idyll, I think. It's not sure it's quite word for word, but something like that. He was a big fan. It's a wonderful little story that is all about living under the kindness of God. All about the covenant faithfulness of God. All about God keeping his promises. All about God providing rest through the king that would come. And we focus on this little Israelite family. We see that he draws in the outsider, that he humbles the proud, he exalts the weak, he fills the empty. He brings hope and he cares for the widow. And through tragedy, he brings great joy. The story started 2 weeks ago for us in a time of famine. Naomi and her husband Elimelech move away. They go as refugees to a place called Moab. It is enemy territory. They move away from the promised land, away from God's people. They're refugees in a foreign land. But after a while, Naomi's husband dies. her sons go and they marry Moabite women. But then after a while, her sons die too. And she is a bit of a shell of a woman. She ends up not being named by that point. She just feels so broken. And when she hears that God has returned to his people, he has acted in kindness, he has provided food again, she decides, I'm going to go home. She leaves in a time of sorrow and she goes back to Bethlehem. Chapter 1 is all about returning. Physically, yes, Naomi comes back to her home, but it's all about returning. It's all about turning away from trying to do things her way, turning back to putting the Lord at the center of her life. She turns from being empty, abandoned, and hopeless. But God is with her. Ruth is with her. God has not forgotten her. Last time in chapter 2, it was harvest time. But Naomi and Ruth, her daughter-in-law, are hungry. They are in need of favor. And they find grace as the Lord provides them with the food that they need, an abundance of grain. So much. And he does that through this guy called Boaz, a relative of Naomi who gives them an abundance of food. Boaz explains, chapter 2, verse 12, that Ruth has come to take refuge under the wings of God. She might not know that at that point, but that is exactly what she has done. Or at least not knowing the fullness of what that means. And as the curtains fall on that scene, we are left with this question. Will that just be a little blip? Will this great little provision that the Lord has done, this abundance that he's given them, will that just be a one-off? Or will this be an ongoing thing? Can the Lord provide the lasting rest that Ruth and Naomi need? By implication for you and me tonight, can he give the rest that you and I need? This evening, we're a few months on in the story. We've moved from harvest time to winnowing time. It's the start of the dry season. It's a bit wet today, but it's about this time of year. Late May, early June. And as last time, there are three scenes in the chapter, three lessons for us. Verses 1 to 5, seeking rest. Verses 6 to 15, laying down in rest, and then right at the end, waiting for rest. Verses 1 to 5, seeking rest. We pick up the story, chapter 3, verse 1. If you've got a Bible, do open it up. We're on page 269. That'll be a help to me, and I hope it'll be a help to you. I want you to see that this is coming from the Bible, and I'm not just making this stuff up. Chapter 3, verse 1. Of Ruth. Then Naomi, her mother-in-law, said to Ruth, "My daughter, should I not seek rest for ye, that it may be well with ye?" It's been a massive change in Naomi since the beginning. She went away empty, or she came back empty, she's feeling bitter. But here she is, looking out for Ruth. She's moved from selfishness to selflessness. Less interested in herself, more interested in Ruth. It was a prayer that she'd prayed for Ruth back in chapter 1, verse 9. She said, "May the Lord deal kindly with ye. The Lord grant that ye may find rest." But she doesn't just want rest for Ruth. She goes out and she seeks it for her. Rest is more than just a good night's sleep. I'm sure we could all do one of those. This is about fullness. It is about restoration. It is about wholeness. It's about life. Rest is what the dove found when it was sent out from the ark, when the flood came. After God had completely destroyed the world, he sent this dove out and it found rest, found a new home, it found life. Rest is what the Lord did on the seventh day after he'd created the world. Rest is what the Lord offers to Moses when he's in strife. Naomi wants rest for Ruth, but she doesn't just want it. She goes and she seeks it. She's like the persistent widow that Jesus spoke of in Luke 18, who kept going to the judge day after day after day, give me justice against my enemy. Or like our dog, Ransom, he sees a stick, he grabs it, and he will not let it go. Naomi has seen what she wants, and she goes and she seeks it. Not that she doesn't trust God to provide. In fact, it is precisely because she does trust God to provide that she goes and does this. Have a look at chapter 2, verse 20. Boaz is one of their kinsmen redeemers. This is under the law, under the Levitical law. God had provided protection for widows through a figure called a kinsman redeemer. Naomi can see that the Lord has put Boaz into Ruth's life. And she seeks rest and she devises this plan. Verse 2, she says, "Is not Boaz our relative?" See, he's winnowing barley tonight at the threshing floor. The wheat has been harvested, it's been dried, and now it's time to separate the wheat from the chaff. They hit the wheat, they get rid of the chaff, and then the wind winnows it, it blows it away. So they're just left with the grain. It's night time. Boaz would be sleeping next to his grain heap to keep it safe, to make sure no one stole it. So Naomi says, "Wash, therefore, anoint yourself, put on your cloak." This is good dating advice, especially in the days before deodorant. Ruth's cloak, that might be her best clothes. It might be to keep her warm. I think this is most likely that Naomi says, "Put on your best cloak," or "put on your cloak," because it is no longer time for mourning. It's no longer time for being sad and sorrowful. Now is the time for showing Boaz that you are ready to move on. You're ready for marriage, that you are seeking rest. I don't know what you make of all this. It sounds a bit risky, doesn't it? Go down at night, put your glad rags on, have a wash, go down and lie at his feet. We know it's not safe for women to go out during the day, even in a field at this time of Israel's history. It was a dangerous time. Naomi is saying, go out at night. Make sure that you know where Boaz is sleeping. Make sure that it's Boaz you go and find and not someone else. She says, uncover his feet, lie down, and he will tell you what to do. Some read this and think that Naomi is telling Ruth to seduce Boaz. I don't think that's what's going on for three reasons. Number one, Boaz doesn't seem to think that. Verse 10, he thinks that she has done a good thing. The word kindness is a Hebrew word, chesed. It's all about covenant faithfulness. It is all about God's faithful character. It's a reflection of who God is. Similarly, verse 11, he calls her a worthy woman. She is a virtuous person. Second reason, the author of Ruth isn't afraid of talking about sex directly. Over the page in chapter 4, after Ruth and Boaz are married, there's a very normal word for sex that the author uses. It doesn't feel the need for secrecy or innuendo, so that is probably not what's going on here. Third reason is that this is all about seeking rest. Naomi isn't interested in Ruth's sex life. She is interested in Ruth's future. Naomi wants rest for Ruth. She wants marriage for Ruth. And as our society knows all too well, if you have sex before marriage, then the chances of a long-term marriage are massively reduced. Naomi wants rest. She goes and she seeks it. That is what God's people do. We know the character of God. We know his promises. And so we act accordingly. We see that in the way that we tell others about the gospel. We want God to save. We pray that God would save people. And he ends up giving us opportunities to speak of him. Or we pray, we've been praying this for a while at LEC. Lord, please raise up workers for your harvest field. Quite often, the Lord will, and he'll raise people up from amongst us. It involves seeking. I was at the Evangelium Mein und Spanisch conference this weekend, a big German-speaking conference for Christians. I met this guy who came to Berlin as a missionary. He's a jazz musician, and he came over to get to know the creatives in Berlin, and he would play music with them, he'd do gigs with them, and he'd try and share something of the gospel with them. And he and his wife had been praying for the Lord to raise up workers for the harvest field in Berlin, the Lord to save people in Berlin, the Lord to save enough people that a church would be started. And after 5 years of praying and asking and seeking, he decided maybe the Lord is asking me to plant a church. Actually, it's sort of forced upon him. They were part of God's answers to their prayers. Naomi had prayed that Ruth would find rest, and here she is seeking that very rest for Ruth. Sometimes I have people come to me and say, I'm not a Christian, but I wish I was. I wish I had faith like you have, or that I see other people at LEC having. Maybe you feel a bit like that. If that is you, then seek. If you think I want rest, if you think I want what they have, if you think I wish I had the security or the joy, I know someone who was encouraged to come along to church by a friend online because they were really attracted by the satisfaction that Christians seem to have. And this person wanted that and so started coming along. Jesus says, seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. Ask God, if that is ye, to open your heart to him. Ask him to help you understand. Ask him to help you trust him. Naomi and Ruth seek rest. So verse 6, she goes down to the threshing floor. She does just as her mother-in-law tells her. She goes and she stakes the place out. She watches where Boaz lies, notes the spot next to his heap of grain. In verse 7, she comes softly, she uncovers his feet, and she lies down. See, Ruth and Naomi know that Boaz is a kinsman redeemer. And so she goes to lie down and rest. There's a boldness that comes from trusting God's promises. An assurance that means that if you are a Christian tonight, you and I can boldly approach the throne of grace. A happy certainty that enables Ruth to lie down at the feet of her Redeemer. This is the heart of the chapter. Ruth follows Naomi's plan under cover of darkness. She makes her appeal. There's a man asleep. There is a woman who approaches. She uncovers his feet. It's midnight. and yet there is no impropriety. It is bold, but it is completely innocent. Verse 9, Boaz wakes up. He's a bit startled. And he says, "Who are you? What are you doing here?" And Ruth says, "I am Ruth, your servant." All the time that we've seen Ruth so far in this book, she has been called Ruth the Moabite, Ruth the outsider, Ruth the one who doesn't belong. Chapter 1, verse 4, Ruth, she is one of the Moabite wives. Chapter 2, verse 2, she is Ruth the Moabitess. Chapter 2, verse 6, she is the Moabite woman who comes from the country of Moab. 2 verse 10, she says, "I am a foreigner." But here she just says, "I am Ruth, your servant." Actually, chapter 3, she isn't referred to as the Moabitess at all. She is learning to define herself by the grace of God that has found her. And she says, "Spread your wings over your servant, for you are a redeemer." This is the language of covenant, of Jewish, strong relationship with God, promised relationship with God. It's the same language that Boaz used of God in chapter 2, if you were with us, when he told Ruth that she had come to take refuge under the wings of God. She'd come in real need and destitution. She'd come hungry, begging. And Boaz explains that what she has done is turn to the Lord for refuge. Now Ruth asks Boaz to be the agent of that refuge. "I am Ruth, your servant. Spread your wings over your servant, for you are a redeemer." This is a marriage proposal. Now, we won't go there now, but it is the same words that God uses in Ezekiel 16 to describe his relationship with Israel, his covenant commitments to his people, his promise to his bride. Ruth is asking Boaz to take responsibility for her, to redeem her, to literally cover her, but to metaphorically cover her. It is a picture of a lasting protection. It's a brave move. Boaz could have done anything he wanted. It's nighttime. There's no one else around, no one else that knows that she is there. She is vulnerable. But he doesn't. Every now and then I get asked by someone who started dating how far they can go with their boyfriend or their girlfriend, what they can physically get away with. That is completely the wrong way of looking at a relationship. Look at what Ruth and Boaz do. They honor each other. They treat each other with dignity and with respect. They're far, far more concerned about character than looks. Although Ruth is clean, that's a good thing. They are more interested in spiritual maturity than compatibility. Their priority is seeing the Lord honored in themselves and in one another. And Boaz responds to Ruth with astounding grace. He calls her this woman of noble character. He praises her kindness. She's not acting in personal ambition, but she is being faithful to her family. Faithful to, actually not her mother, but her mother-in-law. And here's the surprise twist. There is a nearer redeemer. Boaz isn't the person at the moment. He's a righteous and a noble man, and he wants to act according to God's law. So he does promise to resolve the matter. He does promise to redeem if he can, but he will only do it lawfully. He doesn't try and cut corners. He doesn't overpromise, but he doesn't underpromise either. Verse 13, he says to her, "Remain tonight, and in the morning, if he will redeem you, then good. Let him do it. But if he is not willing to redeem you, then "As the Lord lives, I will redeem ye. Lie down until morning." Ruth invited to lie down in safety. It doesn't happen so often nowadays. Our kids are a little bit older. Their oldest is 11. But every now and then, they would wake up with a nightmare in the middle of the night, and they'd come running into our bedroom. They'd climb into our bed, and they would lie down in safety. It's great when your kids are particularly little. Then they think that you're the hero that you really, really are not. I think now, if they had the choice, they'd run to Gabby and not me. Ruth knows that she is safe at Boaz's feet. She has this certainty, this happy certainty, that she can lie down at the feet of her Redeemer. Psalm 23, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He restores my soul." And Jesus, you and I are invited to approach the throne of grace with confidence, that we might find mercy and grace to help in our time of need. There is a confidence that enables Ruth to lay down at the feet of her Redeemer. Boaz doesn't quite know how things are going to turn out, but he does know that rest for Ruth is certain. And he, in this desire to show her, he gets 6 measures of barley. I don't know what that is. It says 6 barleys. I guess it's a lot. It's not just a provision. It is a sign that he won't rest until this matter is settled. And so we come to the end. Ruth goes back to her mother-in-law early in the morning. She goes to Naomi, and they find themselves waiting. Naomi says to Ruth, "How did it go?" Verse 16, "How did you fare, my daughter?" Actually, it is exactly the same question that Boaz has asked her in the middle of the night. Literally, the question is, "Who are you, my daughter?" And then she told her all that the man had done for her. Again, Ruth learning to define herself by God's grace to her and not what other people would say of her. Learning to define herself as a person, a recipient of grace. Remember the demon-possessed man in Mark 5, this guy who lived amongst the tombs? It's like a horror scene. He cuts himself. He screams in terror. They try and chain him down, but he's so strong he breaks these chains. He has a terrible, terrible life. And Jesus comes to him, and he casts out this legion of demons. He heals him, he sets him free, he restores him, he renews his life. And he goes away proclaiming how much the Lord has done for me. Ruth tells of all that Boaz has done. He shows Naomi the barley, because verse 17, he had said to her, "You must not go back empty-handed to your mother-in-law." Chapter 1, Naomi said that she had been brought back empty. But now she and Ruth have come to take shelter under the wings of God. They will never be empty again. They will be full, full to the brim, full to overflowing. And Naomi understands Boaz will act. The one who has promised rest will not settle. Will not rest until it is sorted out. And the scene ends. It doesn't resolve itself yet. You've got to come back next week for that. But it ends in this quiet trust. It's not a vain hope. It is a hope that is rooted in the provision of the Lord. This story has been so clear that God is the sovereign Lord of heaven and earth, and he is at work in this family's life. Ultimately, it's a quiet, confident trust that is based on God's word, on God's promise. Ruth's future doesn't depend on her ingenuity or on the level of risk that she is willing to take. It doesn't rest on Naomi's plan. It rests on the promise of another. It rests on Boaz's word. Ultimately, it rests on God's promise. Now, that is what it means to trust a Redeemer. It's a picture of the assurance that there is for anyone who comes to Jesus. Anyone who has their sins forgiven, anyone who has new life. Actually, our certainty and assurance is even more sure than Ruth's. Jesus just hasn't said that he's willing. He has redeemed his people. Jesus doesn't just cover us. He doesn't just cover our shame. He doesn't just cover our guilt. But he takes it, and he takes it on himself. He redeems us at the highest cost. As we're going to celebrate in a few moments' time, he suffered, he died, he rose again, so that you and I can find new life. His death, a sacrifice for our sins. Jesus doesn't just fill his people with grain, but he fills his people with his Spirit. We have been marked with a seal, the deposit that guarantees what is to come. So in many ways, if you're here tonight and you are a Christian, we live in Ruth chapter 3. We know we have a Redeemer, and we wait. We're not at the end of the story yet, but we are in the middle. Naomi and Ruth have to wait for mourning. You and I must also wait, sometimes through long nights. But we wait under the wings of a Redeemer who will not rest until our redemption is complete. We wait at the feet of a Redeemer who invites us to lie down and dwell in safety. We wait for a Redeemer to come to fill us, to take us to be with him forever. Maybe you're not a Christian tonight. Maybe this is all a bit new to you. Maybe you wish I'd just sit down and shut up. I hope that you can see something of what it means to find a Redeemer. Goethe said this was one of the most loveliest complete little stories. This is not just a story. We open this series thinking of Disneyland, and you go there, you think, oh, this is all wonderful. You see people skipping through the streets, you see smiles, you see this facade, and you think, yeah, but I know behind it all it's not real. You go for a day, or you go for 7 days, or 14 days, depending on the deal. But then you know that that is not real life. This little book is real life. There is a Saviour who promises far, far more than Disney, who gives the greatest happy ending that you can ever find, and who today tells us to wait. Psalm 130, I wait for the Lord. My soul waits, and in his word I hope. My soul waits for the Lord more than watchmen wait for the morning, more than watchmen wait for the morning. O Israel, put your hope in the Lord. For with the Lord there is steadfast love, and with him is plentiful redemption. Shall we pray? Sovereign Lord, we thank you so much that you are a God of immense grace. We thank you that you don't treat us as our sins deserve, but that you have sent a Redeemer to save us. to fill us, to buy us rest. And so, Lord, would you help us to seek that rest, to lie down in safety at his feet, and to patiently wait for our redemption to be seen. In Jesus' name we ask. Amen.